Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Buckhead, Atlanta, it's time for Simply Buckhead Radio with your host, publisher, and founder, Joanne Hayes.
And I am not Joanne, but Joanne is in the studio, and we're very excited for Buckhead Business Radio to have the inaugural show. As mentioned, the publisher of Simply Buckhead. And Joanne, welcome to Simply Buckhead Radio.
Thank you so much. We're completely honored to be able to have this show and serve the Buckhead community in a completely different way than we have up till now.
Yeah, so I think I was sending an email. It's like print and radio and all the stars have aligned, right?
Absolutely. Luckily, there's no TV yet. That would really scare me.
Yeah, radio is fun, yeah. So we're very excited, as we mentioned, to have you for your inaugural, your very first show, and you have some great guests we're going to introduce in the studio here this afternoon, and amazing stories, and it'll be some great conversation. But tell us a little bit about Simply Buckhead. For those people that, I can't imagine if you've been in Buckhead and haven't seen the publication, it's the largest publication in Buckhead, right?
Correct.
I mean, in dimensions and otherwise.
Yes,
yeah.
Dimensions and in our distribution. We are publishing 8 times a year. We do 24,000 copies each issue, distributing in 250 locations in Buckhead and Brookhaven. And we're also the only magazine available at the International Terminals Information Desk. So there's a lot of flow through that airport, too.
Yeah. And I know we were at a networking event, and some folks were talking about you had sent it to them, and they're reading it in New York on the subway up there.
Yes,
and,
actually. Yeah, so the Shake Shack folks, yeah. They were here for their grand opening, and the CEO of the company told me he reads our magazine while he's on the subway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is there just something about it or whatever, a secret sauce or whatever that just makes it very entertaining, informative, and you mm-hmm. feel like you're in the know. I mean, I've told you this before, but before we, this is our newest studio, The Network, before we opened it, that was the very first publication I picked up because I'm thinking, it's all about Buckhead. We're right here, yeah.
Yes, and we appreciate that. We were a guest on your show twice,
yep.
And you were able to get some other guests through our connections, and then I was asked to be a guest host and have my own show.
Yeah, so we're thrilled with the idea, and the weekly show, Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, and Simply Buckhead Radio will have its own site. It's already up live as well. But back to the magazine on the kind of who's kind of, I guess, your audience and or who are some of your advertisers or what type of advertisers are, you know, where's, well, I guess, what's your niche? And mm-hmm. I mean, this is, a three-part question because then also what sets you, you know, what's unique about yours as opposed to maybe some other publications?
Mm-hmm. Well, when we first set out to do the magazine, we wanted to do something different that wasn't being filled for the need in Buckhead to have their own voice as part of Atlanta. And doing the oversized publication was an idea that I brought here from Rhode Island. But we wanted to put out a magazine that would expose hidden under the radar gems, people that would not normally get the mainstream press. And, you know, some of those folks may be too small for the other publications, but we love those stories, people doing great things in charity and schools and, you know, art and music and
business and food and
exactly,
entertainment.
Yeah. Exactly. And
sports, whatever. Yeah.
Yes. A large part of our publication is about, you know, arts and entertainment, and that can go across many, many different places. Of course, sports is a big one for us because I happen to be a big sports fan.
Yeah. We all know that.
mm-hmm.
And speaking of charity, we have some, I think this is kind of a theme show this afternoon.
Yes.
And we're going to spotlight some of those in just a moment. But beforehand, finally, on the publication, the distribution is all throughout Buckhead.
All throughout Buckhead and Brookhaven at the International Terminal. The entire magazine is viewable online at simplybuckhead.com. Everything is hyperlinked. We've been seen in over 200 countries and all 50 states and about 192 cities and towns in Georgia. So we
wow.
have a huge reach internationally as
and
well.
And I know online from the publication as well as social media. But then finally, just the last couple of or a few issues, you had we had some folks in here from the Bold Women of Buckhead,
mm-hmm.
right, was a
yes.
cover issue. And then you had the men's issue.
We had the men's issue and celebrated earlier, late, last week with Paul Millsap and some of the Hawks personnel.
Yeah, yeah. And you had the unveiling of the newest Porsche.
We did. Jim Ellis Porsche came in and debuted their new vehicle for 2015, the Cayenne.
It was really cool. I've never seen like an official unveiling. They had the whole thing covered and rolled back the magic covering. Yeah, it was.
Well, that's because you didn't know us last January when
exactly.
we unveiled our buck at our
charity
event.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm in the know now. Whatever.
Now
yeah,
you're
yeah.
in the know.
So having said that, let's just quickly introduce our guests before we go into our interview. So who do we have first up on the show?
Well, first up up is Sean Weatherspoon, a linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons, also the founder of Spoonful of Hope charity.
Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm glad to be here and, you know, enjoy you guys' company today.
Thank you. Well, so we're
all
thrilled.
Get autographs, or you have footballs, or giveaways for everybody, or what?
I have one. I actually have one. I can tell you that Sean, the first time I met him, was so gracious, signed a football for me while I was interviewing him, and that football is going to be auctioned off on behalf of Cure Childhood Cancer.
Wow.
Our awesome. Second awesome. Guest for the day, yeah. Kristen Connor, the executive director of Cure Childhood
well,
Cancer.
Well, let's say hi to Kristen, yeah.
Hi, thanks for having me, and thanks, Sean, for signing a football for us. That's awesome.
No problem.
He didn't know what it was for when he signed it for me, but I did tell him we'd be auctioning it off.
Yeah, it's a great cause.
Nice. And tell us a little bit about your, we're going to get into an interview, but a little bit about your cause and
Yes, well, I'm the director of Cure Childhood Cancer, and we are just grateful and fortunate to have such a just terrific relationship with Simply Buckhead, and Joanne has been extremely generous to Cure in helping us spread the word about what we do, which I guess we'll talk about in a few
yeah,
days.
Yeah, we're happy to continue that conversation and spotlight as well. And then who else do we have in the studio?
Well, our final subject is Michelle Stumpy, who is an attorney with Taylor English and Duma. She's one of their partners. And she's also been very involved in several charities. The one that we've showcased here today is Children of Conservation. And Michelle also has the distinguished honor of being our front cover photograph in our upcoming November-December issue, which will be out at the end of this week.
Nice. And up on our wall, what we call our guest wall of fame, we've had Matthew Rosenkopf from Taylor English was in the studio on our Atlanta Legal Experts radio show. So, all right. So there you have it. Let's jump into it. I'm going to just take some photos for social media. And Joanne, it's all yours.
Terrific. Well, we're really happy to have Sean in studio. As you just heard me say, I've met him before and spoken with him. And he left such a great impression on me as a young man doing a wonderful service in the world of charity, as well as being a professional football player. And I know that he'll speak more about this, but his team very much encourages the players to be involved. And to be in your 20s and to start a charity of your own, I think, is a huge endeavor. And that's what Sean has done. But before we get into the charity, we just wanted to say that we hope you're healing well. We'd love to see you back on the field, and we're going to look for that for next year, right?
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Healing is going fine. Been working about 5 to 6 days a week on, you know, my rehabilitation. Tore my Achilles in June, so it's been a little tough. You know, I was really looking forward to this year. It was my last year of my contract, so it was a year that was big for me. But obviously, I didn't get a chance to get out there with the guys this year. But I've just been encouraging them and, you know, sticking with them and just sticking to the plan and the big picture. That's what it's all about, focusing on the big picture. So I want to thank everyone for their prayers and their concerns about me. And I love Atlanta. I want to be here. I had a talk with my GM yesterday, and, you know, things are looking good. So I think we'll get that done, you know, here after the season, and hopefully I'll be in Atlanta for a long time.
Terrific. We'd love to have you here. And as I said, I've spoken with Sean before, but I really want him to explain a little bit about his background and what motivated him to start his own charity.
Awesome. Well, I grew up in a small town in southeast Texas called Jasper, Texas. It's about 8,000 people. My mom's a school teacher. My dad worked at the O'Reilly Auto Parts store. So they were always big on, you know, people helping people. And you could always sense that. You know, my friends would come over, and I would want to go outside of the house and, you know, I'd go have some fun. And they would like to hang around my parents and talk with them. And because you never know what someone may be going through. And it stuck out to me that my mom, you know, she took a liking to all my friends, and she was kind of like that mother figure to them. And ultimately, it just kind of rubbed off on me to help people, you know. So once I got here, I had a chance to, you know, be a part of the Falcons Rookie Club in 2010. And what we would do, we would go out once a week and help others in the community of Atlanta. We would go down to Crossroads and serve Thanksgiving dinners. We would visit schools and play with the kids and, you know, tell them a little bit about Play 60 and how, you know, it's great to get outside instead of just playing the video game when you get home. And, you know, we'd always do things to encourage others, and it kind of made me want to do something myself. So after that first year of just learning to be a professional, we started the Spoonful of Hope Foundation in 2011, and it's been up and running and going pretty good. Here lately, we've joined forces with this group called Prolanthropy, and what they do is they take your goals and, you know, what you want to get out to the public, and they kind of help you. They have more resources, so it's awesome that they can, you know, put your idea, your plan, and your mission out. So, been doing a good job here in Atlanta. We've been out in the community, having some fun and bringing some hope. You know, the name of the foundation is Spoonful of Hope, and that's what I want to do. Just, you know, go out and talk to kids, underprivileged kids here in the Atlanta area, also underprivileged families. You know, you want to bring them a sense of hope and let them know that whatever they want to do, you know, it's out there for them, because I've been that small child, you know, who thought the world was against them, and I just, you know, stuck to I stuck to my plan, you know, and luckily I have a great group around me that's able to help me do everything that I want to do, because you can't make it in this world alone. So, like I said, we just want to get out in the community, do something great, bring something positive to the kids, and help them to, you know, better themselves and set themselves up for the future.
One other question I would ask you about that: are any of your teammates involved with you? Or I know they're very supportive. There's a great event coming up on November 10th that we'd love you to talk about.
Awesome. Well, my teammates are awesome guys. I think it starts from the top down. Mr. Blank, the way he is in the Atlanta community, you know, what he does for this city, I think it rubs off on our teammates. And we're the only team that has a day where the whole team is out in the community doing something for somebody else. Not only the team, but the employees that work upstairs and everything. So it's kind of like a thing that comes downhill from the top with the Falcons. And, you know, on November the 10th, we'll have a celebrity waiter night at Ocean Prime, where I'll go out, myself and a ton of my teammates will be there. And they're so supportive. It just means a lot, you know, because I'm not even able to be with them as much as I would like to right now. You know, I'm rehabbing and I'm not around them as much, but they're still supportive of me. And I'm thankful that they are. And my teammates will come out and they'll serve dinner. So they'll be helping others that night as well. And a lot of them do great things out in the community as well. You know, I can't speak enough about, you know, the great things that they do, regardless of just being football players. I think what we look for is people with, you know, the right character and, you know, the right goals, you know. And I think helping people, it should be a goal that everyone should have. And my teammates do a great job of that. And I'm thankful that they're going to be at Ocean Prime. And, you know, we just really look forward to having a good time and doing something positive.
Well, I can tell you for one that I'm very excited about this event. My husband and I will be in the house. And to have the Falcons waiting on us will be very exciting. And we were thrilled to be asked to attend the event. So we're very much looking forward to it. I've heard about this event. I know that the Falcons do a celebrity waiter event once a year, and they choose to do it for a different charity each year. So we were thrilled the timing of having Sean on the radio and, you know, having this event right behind it. Sean, can you speak a little bit about specifically where the funds that are raised go for, specific programs or events that you do for the families?
Yes, ma'am, I can. We have a few events. The main event would be the Spoon Feed a Family, and that's what we do around Thanksgiving. Where in the past we've went to the schools here in Atlanta and actually given the kids a chance to write essays about themselves and their situations. And what we do, myself and the other people on the Spoonful of Hope Foundation Executive Board, we'll look at that and we'll pick as many families as we can help. So the more we can raise, the more we can help. So that's the goal, is to, you know, continue to put the word out and continue to, you know, do positive things. I know I keep saying positive things, but that's, I think positivity is, it can reflect success. I think if you have a positive attitude, I think anything you're doing, you'll probably have a better outcome other than, you know, having a snotty attitude about it. So what we'll do is we'll also do a Spoonful of Hope in a Backpack event that we do with. We've done it with KIPP schools here in Atlanta. I'm not sure if you guys know about KIPP schools here, but KIPP is a public school, but it's a private school education. So I think that means a lot. You know, here in Atlanta, a lot of the school system things that are going on, the reading level, it's low. And you know, we want to do something to encourage the kids to go to school with the right attitude, so they can, you know, be successful in school. Because education is the foundation to success. So we want to, you know, make sure that they understand that without school, there's pretty much nothing that you can do that to help anyone. I believe when I went to college, you know, my main goal was to make it to the NFL. But all the time, my mom would, you know, reiterate that it's about school, get your education, because you're going to need something to fall back on. I mean, here I am in my fifth year here in Atlanta, and, you know, I don't get a chance to play in my last year. And, you know, I'm thinking about other things. You know, I'm focused on, you know, getting healthy, because that's the main thing. But, you know, I also want to set myself up for later on. Another event that we do with the Spoonful of Hope, Spoonfeed of Family, we take the kids to the world of Coca-Cola and show them a little bit about the hometown Coca-Cola company that's here. You know, they can see how they actually make the Coca-Cola right there at the plant. They get a tour. We have a good time. We sit down, watch a little bit of my highlights, and I kind of joke with them a little bit about sports. And it's a really good time. And also in the summer, we like to do football camps. So I've had a chance to do camps in my hometown, camps here in Flowery Branch, camps in Beaufort. And I think we're headed in the right direction, and we're just trying to continue to grow. And all the information about the foundation can be found on SeanWeatherspoon.org. And you can go there, and it's my website, and it'll tell you everything about the foundation. Anyone you need to contact, if you want to, you know, reach out to us and maybe, you know, help us a little bit, I think you can go in there and figure out anything you need to find out.
Well, I have to say that one of the things that we loved about having our first show be about philanthropy and charity is that so many of the organizations we come in contact with have a lot of synergy with each other. And one of the things I love the most about having a magazine and being a publisher is being able to connect people that may not otherwise have an opportunity to meet. And Sean, you do a lot of work with children and with families, and, you know, feeding people is really an important endeavor here. We're very involved in Share Our Strength and with Cure Childhood Cancer, and have really gotten to see firsthand how much the work you do does help and makes an impact on a community. We were at the Atlanta Community Food Bank last night, and I think I've heard this over and over, and you've probably heard the same, that, you know, so much is done in November and December. People just assume that at Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's it, but it's not. It's year-round, and there are families out there really suffering, and the fact that you're doing something so positive makes a difference in so many families and so many children. And again, one of the things we loved about Sean was that his parents, his mom being an educator, first time we met, you spoke a lot about that, how she placed such a high value on education, and it sure is important.
It is. It is. I agree. And nothing makes me feel better, you know, than seeing the smile on the faces of the kids and the families when we actually get a chance to be around them. And I think that's satisfying as anything, just, you know, seeing how, you know, we've taken a little bit of our time to, you know, spend some time with them. And I think that makes a big difference in the long run.
Well, what can folks do in terms of volunteering for your organization? Where can, you know, individuals or corporate businesses jump on board and help you out?
Well, all of our contact information is on the SeanWeatherspoon.org website. So what you would need to do is go there, and you can just kind of, you know, scroll through the site and check out the things we're doing. And if it seems interesting to you, and if you would like to, you know, join our cause, and you can just contact us, and we'll do whatever we can to, you know, help bring people on board, because it's all about, you know, doing more, like you said, not just around the holidays, not just, you know, the tough times of the year. It's all about, you know, continuing to strive to do better.
Terrific. So we know where we can find out more information about the charity, but I can also tell you that you can follow Sean on Twitter. Sean, what's your Twitter handle?
I was thinking about a Twitter plug there. Maybe an Instagram plug as well.
Yes, please.
My Twitter is SeanWSpoon56. That's my Twitter handle, at SeanWSpoon56. I've been on Twitter about maybe 5 years. It's a great platform. I think you can, you know, put some things out there to kind of, you know, push the word. And I really enjoy Twitter. And also on Instagram, when I went to college, I'm from Texas, so a rapper that I listened to in high school, his name was Mike Jones, and he had this song that was my ringtone, and it was my ringtone when my mom calls. And one of my teammates, he said, Mike Jones would always say his name. He would say Mike Jones. He would always say his name every time he had a chance. So my teammates started calling me Spoon Jones. So when I came to the NFL, the older guys were still calling me that. So my Instagram name is SpoonJones56. So you can find me on Instagram as well.
Well, thank you so much, Sean. We really appreciate you being here in studio today. And again, I can tell you, I'm a follower. We follow each other. It's SeanWSpoon56 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And if you can still get a hold of tickets for the November 10th event being held at Ocean Prime, I think it's going to be a great time. And of course, all the proceeds go to support Spoonful of Hope. And thank you so much, Sean.
Just to get the word out, I just got a confirmation from a future Hall of Famer by the name of Devin Hester that he will be at the event, too. So I'm really excited
Excellent.
To get Devin there, his first year here in Atlanta. And I think we're going to have a good time. And thank you for that.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for being here. So let's move on to our second guest, who is Kristen Connor. And I have the pleasure of having Kristen on board today. She has become much more than a charity that we sponsor, and she's become a friend, and we love working with this organization so much. And we've been told we were roped in for life, so that's our intention. And I'm sure Kristen will speak more to this, but I want to tell you a little bit about her background, and I'll let her expound a bit more. Kristen joined Cure Childhood Cancer in March 2006 as executive director after a personal experience with childhood cancer. I'm going to let her speak more about that. But she was a practicing attorney and left her career to focus on her child's health and well-being, and over those years realized how little funding and research was specifically going towards children's cancer. And again, I'll let her speak more about this because she's also been very involved with the Glavins, Tom and Chris Glavin, who devote much of their time and resources and energy to supporting CURE. So we will start with asking Kristen, what exactly is CURE Childhood Cancer's goal and mission?
Well, thank you, Joanne, for having me here today and giving us a chance to speak about CURE. And before I answer your question, I just want to say, Sean, wow, I'm so inspired by you and just so impressed by what you're doing. And thank you for all you do for the kids of Atlanta. It's really awesome.
Thank you as well. You inspire me as well. Yeah, I believe when you help others, I think you that's what's going to stand, you know, when it's all said and done, is what you did for other people.
I do. Thank you.
He inspired me enough on the first time I met him to want to have him as one of my guests on the first show, which we had determined we were going to do was charity and philanthropy. So he made a big impression on me, and you all know I meet a lot of people in the course of any given day, and it was very inspiring to meet him when we did at the event that we covered. So
I can see why. I can. Well, let me tell you a little bit about CURE Childhood Cancer. So our mission is really what our name says, which is to find cures for cancers which affect children, and also to support patients and families who are going through childhood cancer today. I think most people don't realize, and I certainly didn't before my son was diagnosed, that cancers which affect children are so different from the kinds of cancers that adults get. And what really drew me to this work, and it's much more than work, it's really what I see it as more of a calling, but was learning that that there are just so little resources are devoted to understanding why children get cancer and how their cancers behave and respond to treatments and developing treatments that are very specific to the cancers that they have. And when I learned that so little resources are being devoted to that, it's actually less than 4% of all federal dollars given to cancer research go towards looking at pediatric cancer. That's when I felt like, wow, you know, this is just not right, and I need to do something about it and be a part of the quest to find or to change that.
Well, I know you just touched very briefly on some of the larger cancer organizations, and I've learned this from you that you know, people think that the big cancer organizations are helping fund those more niche children's cancers, and they're really not. And maybe you could speak a little bit to the personal experience you had and the urgency of finding childhood cancer cures.
Sure. Well, my son was diagnosed with cancer in 2001 when he was just a month old. His tumor was actually detected on an ultrasound when I was 33 weeks pregnant with him, so he was born with cancer, which to me just seemed like an impossibility. I just had never heard that children could be born with cancer or face something like that so early in their lives. And so it was a real shock to me. And I think for us, you know, my son is a survivor. Fortunately, he's a sassy 13-year-old, as he's and I wouldn't have it any other way. But we've been lucky. But what I saw as he was as we were going through our experience with it was, so many other children. You know, you're in the trenches with the kids, and I, you know, I knew, I guess somewhere in my brain, I knew that, you know, I'd seen bald heads of children, and, you know, I knew that it existed, but really didn't have any idea what the kids go through. And I think, you know, we all, there's nobody who isn't touched by cancer in some way in their lives. And I think if you can just imagine, you know, what your friend, parent, you know, grandparent has been through, and then project that on a child, you can just imagine what they go through in trying to overcome and beat their cancers. And it was really watching that just changed me forever. It really did, and made me want to know more and understand more about, you know, what's the landscape of childhood cancer, and what treatment options are there for kids, and what are we doing about this, and as a nation. And what I learned was that cancer is the second leading cause of death in children. So the only thing that kills more children than cancer are accidents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I thought about that, and I guess it's the sort of the lawyer side of me, tried to look at it kind of objectively, and, okay, so if accidents are the thing that, you know, kills children the most, and what, as a nation, we deal with that. We legislate, we protect them. We require kids to be in car seats until they're, what, 16 now? I mean, I don't know what the age is, but, you know, we protect, you know, childproof our homes. You know, there's all kinds of products you can buy to keep your kids safe from accidents. But when it comes to the next most dangerous thing, cancer, we're not really addressing it. And as a nation, and that just doesn't seem right to me. And, you know, we're pouring billions and billions of dollars into cancer research. But if you get into that and you look at where's it going, you're going to find that it's going to look at lung cancer and breast cancer and prostate cancer. And, you know, those things are really important. They are. And I'm happy that we are investing in researching that. But, you know, what about the kids? What about the fact mm-hmm. that it's the leading cause of death by disease, second only to accidents, and that, you know, the incident rates are rising and have been rising every year for the past 25 years. And so it's becoming more common. It's in one in every four elementary schools in our state has a child that's battling cancer, and one in every two high schools has either a child battling cancer or a survivor of childhood cancer. So it's happening more frequently, and it's bad when it mm-hmm. happens. So shouldn't we be addressing it as a nation? And that's where my passion really lies. And let's invest in research and give these kids a chance.
Well, the funds that you do raise stay locally, and I'd love it if you would speak to how you determine where those funds go and the kinds of projects that you put them towards.
Sure. Well, we've been, I just want to tell you, CURE's been here in Atlanta since 1975. So we've got strong roots in the community, and we started with the first pediatric oncologist who came to Emory. He needed support to build a research lab, and that's how CURE got its beginning. So we have a long, long, long history of investing and building in the pediatric cancer, childhood cancer research program here in Atlanta. We have a very strong relationship and partnership with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and Emory. And our priority is to really fund the great work that's happening in our backyard and building those programs. But we also want to get, you know, we want to get drugs and treatments that are, you know, maybe available to adults or on the shelf that just need funding so that data can be collected, so that, you know, the treatments can become more widely available to children. And so we're really focusing the resources we have on projects that are going to get to the child within a 5-year span. So those that are 20 years away that might be great ideas, you know, I'm supportive of that. Somebody's got to fund it, but it's not going to be CURE, because we really want to get those things that are out there now to the bedside as quickly as we can.
The urgency factor.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, one of the other things I know that CURE Childhood Cancer does is a lot for the families too. The children are suffering, of course, and many of them don't win the battle, but there is families around them and friends, and so many people are affected. And when a child is in the hospital, there's, you know, traveling and hotels, and people just have to be where their children are. And I know that CURE does a lot for that. And I'd love it if you tell us about that.
Sure. And this is where I could be all over the board. So help me stay focused here, because I was just communicating with someone early this morning who was saying, oh, the holidays are coming, right? Because like you said, everybody wants to help at the holidays. So what do you need? Well, you know, we don't really need toys. What we really need are gas cards, because we've got families who travel from, let's say, Albany, and maybe it's three times a week, and they're going back and forth because they've got other children and they don't have anywhere to stay here, and they're traveling back and forth to get, you know, their child the treatment they need. And imagine if you're living, you're struggling already, or maybe one parent had to leave the workforce to care for the child, which happens all the time, and so you've given up that income and you've got these extra, you know, travel expenses, it becomes overwhelming really quickly. And so gas cards, that's a biggie right now for us. But, you know, we've got, as I said, fortunately, such a strong partnership with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And because of that partnership, we're able to meet families within, you know, hopefully 72 hours of diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And we connect with them. And our objective in the beginning is just to say, hey, you know, we know what you're going through, and we're here for you when you're ready for us. And just letting them know they're not alone. And while they sort of work through the fog of the, you know, very traumatic diagnosis. And then we're in the hospitals at least three times a week, connecting with families and just understanding what their needs are. Are you traveling back and forth from Albany or Columbus several times a week? Or have you been in the hospital for 6 or 7 weeks at a time and you can't afford to go back and forth to the cafeteria? I mean, what's going on with your family? Do you have a sibling who's experiencing anxiety or, you know, really emotional issues because of the lengthy hospital stays and the separation? We've got a counseling program that we can, you know, we can offer for those family members who need it. We're in the hospital with food, meals twice a week.
I was going to ask you to talk about Open Arms.
Open Arms is where we're in both Scottish Rite and Eggleston twice a week, serving lunch and dinner. To make sure really that the parents are eating and the parents are taking care of themselves. I mentioned, we have a family emergency fund that provides emergency assistance to just help stabilize families through their real, you know, time of crisis when somebody hasn't been able to work for a month and their power's about to be turned off and they can't discharge a child from the hospital to go home with no power. So we get keep that power on so that child can go home and be discharged, or, you know, cover rent until the parent can go back to work or things like that. So it's really crisis-oriented support. Mm-hmm. And then we have an extensive bereavement care program. We hope no families need that, but unfortunately, you know, it's not the case. So if the unthinkable happens and a family loses a child, we really want to stay with them through that.
And again, the local focus is so important. The funds that are raised stay here. They're used for, you know, folks that are in Atlanta and, you know, whatever they need working with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And the other thing I would ask you is maybe you can tell our audience about the specific events that you hold annually, as these are the main basis of fundraising. I'm sure there's a lot of private donors because I've seen the list. But there's some really great events that are put on throughout the course of a year.
Yes. Well, in the spring we have two, and Sean, I'd love for you to help us out with one of them.
Awesome.
Joanne said she's good at connecting people, mm-hmm. but we have it's called Lauren's Run, and our annual picnic, which is in April, and that's a 10K, 5K, 2K. But my favorite part of it is this huge picnic that we have afterwards for our race participants, and then we also invite all of our families. And every year we have a couple of friends from the NFL come and play flag football with the kids. And
awesome.
So we would love for you to come out if you can.
And I think I'll be able to make that happen.
Yeah, that is so much fun. And then a couple weeks later in May, we have the Believe Ball, where this will be our second year. We're honoring Jill Becker, who used to be a news anchor here and has been just a tireless advocate for CURE. That's a black tie gala at the St. Regis, sold out in 3 weeks last year. So
amazing.
We're hoping that we'll have that same success this year. And then in the fall, in September's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, so we end the month every year with a big luncheon at the Intercontinental, honoring mothers of children with cancer. And Chris Glavin, Tom Glavin's wife, is our hostess. And we just, this past September, had our 10th event. So it's raised about $4.5 million just through that event alone for childhood cancer research. So,
well, one of the things we love about the Glavins, they're very down to earth and they're very involved personally. Again, this is a focus that we always have. We're very involved in the things we become passionate about. And we were very excited to see Tom accepting his Hall of Fame induction and speaking about his wife and his family. Really classy folks and just very dedicated and devoted and down to earth and, you know, very, very much passionate about the organization.
Yeah, so. And if you listen closely to that speech, you'll hear that in the biggest day of his life, induction to the Hall of Fame, he mentioned CURE. And that, I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that, but it really does, I think, tell you how important children with cancer, it's the children, and the organization, you know, is to them. They're incredible, incredible supporters. And Joanne, if you've seen Chris working with CURE, you see her in her sweatpants and tennis shoes, and you see Tom lugging boxes all around. Yep. And I mean, they're in it. They are in it.
That's me too. I think the folks who are sitting at the top are usually the ones that are the chief gophers. That's what I tell everybody. I'm just the chief gopher. But we've had such a wonderful experience as CURE's year-round media sponsor and partner. And, you know, everything we attend is top-notch. And we see the children who are at this year's Quiet Heroes event. They had some new twists. And five children who were survivors or currently still battling cancer spoke on behalf of their mothers and how much CURE has meant to them. And when we were invited to be the media sponsor for them, we were so excited. And the first event I went to, I left in tears, and we knew we were going to be with them for the long haul. And so we're very excited about the work that you do. And I'd love it if you would tell everybody exactly how they can help or find opportunities to volunteer, your website, your your Twitter feed, your Instagram, anything else, Facebook?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to show my age here. Well, first, thank you, Joanne. I mean, you've been just such an incredible supporter. And again, with us there at the late hours, you know, in sweatpants, exhausted, and, you know, doing the grunt work. And we appreciate your support, just all of it in every way, with your magazine and personally. So thank you. And yes, to learn more about CURE and to volunteer or get involved in any way, just go to our website, curechildhoodcancer.org. You can donate, but you know, we'd love, the volunteers are the heart and soul of our organization. So we would love for you to click on volunteer and fill out a volunteer application and give as little or as much time as you have. Gosh, I knew you were going to call me out on the Twitter, Instagram thing.
I know it's at Cure Child Cancer.
There you go.
That's the Twitter handle. I'm not sure about Instagram or Facebook,
though. I'm shaming me, but fortunately, we have a great social media person who does all that for us. So.
No, me too now. It's very important. You know, you get to a point where sometimes you just can't do it all yourself, and you have to have people help you.
Yes.
So I'm giving up a little bit.
People helping people.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen.
Thank you.
We hope that our listeners out there will pay attention to the first two guests we've had and how they can help and get involved. And our final guest of the first show is Michelle Stumpy. And Michelle is gracing the cover of our upcoming November-December issue, which will be out on stands in 2 days and up online on our website. And the picture is gorgeous, and her efforts are amazing. And she's very humble and soft-spoken, but she has received many honors already. She's a partner at the full-service law firm of Taylor English Duma. She practices as a civil litigator with specialties in liability, hospitality law, and alcohol licensing and compliance. And those are, I assume, the elements that led you to be involved in the Georgia Restaurant Association as well. We do know that she works with them. And I had the pleasure of seeing Michelle up on stage last year receiving the Crystal Excellence Award at the Grace Awards for her work with the Giving Kitchen. And she has also founded a charitable organization called Children of Conservation. And I'm going to let Michelle take it from here and tell us about what Children of Conversation is conservation is about.
Well, before I do that, I do want to echo Kristen's comments earlier. It's truly invigorating to be in a room with a group of people who follow their passions to help others. And it's interesting, you talked about connecting people earlier, and just the synergies that the three of us have with Sean and that focus on education and working with children, and that being the foundation, and that's something that's very core to our organization. And with Kristen, I was actually a Camp Twin Lakes volunteer for Camp Rainbow, which is for children with cancer, for 15 years. And it really shaped my life as far as wanting to give back and the opportunities to give back and how rewarding that truly is. And so it's just so invigorating to be part of this group. And Joanne, for you and for Simply Buckhead to be exposing and to be allowing groups like ours who might not get as much exposure otherwise to be out there and for other people to learn about the things that what we do.
That's exactly what we look for. And, you know, it's really all about supporting each other. And, you know, we had a pretty strong mission in wanting our first show to be about philanthropy and charity. And we just look for those kinds of gems because you don't see them anywhere else. And you three were very specifically on our minds when we started to figure out what we were going to do with this show. And as I was explaining earlier, I have not even read my own magazine's editorial material yet. So I get to read it with the excitement of a reader on Thursday when it comes out. And you're going to be informing me here what our readers will also be reading about. So tell us a little bit about Children of Conservation.
So Children of Conservation is a global approach to conservation. We focus not just on endangered species in third world countries, but we take it a little bit bigger. And we look at what are ways that we can help the workers who are taking care of orphaned endangered species, those have been confiscated, as well as the surrounding communities. Because when you build up those communities that surround the sanctuaries through the sanctuary, then that sanctuary, which is a place that these orphaned animals are taken, that sanctuary becomes an important part of the community. And it also is amazing helping those children in the surrounding communities or those families to have opportunities to work, to have opportunities to make a living, to find alternative sources of food or nutrition. And so it's a nice global opportunity to really approach conservation from a bit of a different perspective.
Well, I would be probably asking an obvious question here. We'd love to know which countries you visited.
So we currently have programs in Uganda, Kenya, South Africa, a couple of programs in Cameroon, and we're starting a program this year in Sierra Leone, which is particularly, I guess, personal or impactful at this point. We decided to sponsor some kids in the Sierra Leone sanctuary before the whole Ebola crisis. Mm-hmm. And now that that has become such a forefront, particularly in that country, it's been very heartwarming to get messages back from the director there who says, you know, we really don't feel like we have any hope here. And the running joke is the average life of a Sierra Leonean right now is 21 days.
Oh, my.
But what these educational scholarships are doing is giving our workers hope, because those who survive will have a chance to get out of poverty because their children are being educated, and otherwise they wouldn't be able to afford to do that. And that's the point. Most of these workers don't make enough of a salary to send their children to school, because in many of the countries in Africa, there is no public education past the second grade. So if they can't pay for school, they're not going. And so it keeps them at that poverty level. And so what we're doing is, as a benefit to working at a wildlife sanctuary and committing their life to protecting these animals, they get the benefit of having their children's education, the books, the uniforms paid for. And that will help not only the family, but it will also help the entire village, because when a child goes to school, the entire village benefits.
Well, one of the things I would ask you about that I also did with Kristen and Sean, you must do events that help raise funds for this particular charity. And what kind of things do you do, and how is the funding appropriated for you?
So we have a couple of main fundraisers each year. We have an event called Eats and Beats. And it's a really fun event. As you mentioned, I'm a hospitality lawyer. I work with a lot of restaurants, and I'm fortunate to have a lot of A-list restaurants that are clients. And they're so incredibly giving. And so St. Cecilia, they're at Eats and Beats because Ford Fry is a client of mine, and he also has a passion for Africa. The guys at Local 3 who are on the Giving Kitchen board with me are always participating. So Eats and Beats is an event that we have at the Buckhead Theater, so it's a great location. We have about 30 restaurants that come and provide food. We have wonderful alcohol distributors who donate all of the alcohol. So your ticket price, once you pay your ticket, you get in, you eat as much as you want, you get your drinks, you don't have to pay separately for that. And then we generally have a headliner band. Typically, it's been Yacht Rock for the past couple of years, and anybody who's been to a Yacht Rock concert knows that those guys are just great. But opening for Yacht Rock is chefs who used to be in bands.
Oh, my goodness. That must be fun.
So it is fun. So Ford's always one of the great acts that we have. Chris Talley from Common Quarter is there. Joe Truex does a little bit. He's the executive chef at Watershed. He's a little bit more of a laid-back guy. So he's doing the jazz set up in the VIP suite. So it's just a fun event. Lots of great silent auction items with one-of-a-kind experiences at different restaurants or from different chefs. Ford gave a dinner for 12 at his new house as one of the auction items this year. Joe Truex did a barbecue at his house for 20 people. A couple of chefs got together and did some joint things. So we have some great silent auction items. We're actually working on it right now. It's typically in April, but we may move it to July this year. Just to make it less, there's a lot of events in April.
Absolutely.
And then the other one that we do is called the Dinner and a Cause Card. And that is, it's become a very popular fundraiser. Once people figure out exactly, a lot of people think it's kind of good, too good to be true. But basically it's a dining card that you buy, you pay $60 for it. And it's valid for the months of June, July, and August, the entire months. And there's over 100 restaurants that participate. So you can go to any one of those restaurants anytime during those 3 months, and you get 20% off, not just your bill, but the entire table's bill.
Wow.
And you can take it. I can go to St. Cecilia 10 times if I want to with that card, with six people if I want to. I can go to The Optimist. I can go to Local 3. I can go to Double Zero. I can go to The Iberian Pig. Any of those great restaurants, Fourth and Swift, all of those local Murphys, those great local favorites that we've all grown fond of, and the new hottest places that are around are on that card, because a portion of it goes to Children of Conservation and the other portion of it goes to the Giving Kitchen.
Wow, that's fantastic. And as I said before, that's what Michelle was honored for last year, her work with the Giving Kitchen. And I had a firsthand look at it. I didn't even know what that charity was all about until I saw you up on stage. One of the other things we would love to know about, you know, I'm assuming you've personally been in some of these countries. Have you taken groups in with you, or have you sent other Americans in to actually see the work being done?
So we have a couple of different programs. We have taken groups 3 years now. We have a doctor, Dr. Katarina Nalovic. She actually pays for her entire, for several of her staff members to go with us and provide medical care for all of the workers and all of the kids on our program. And so they go every other year with us. She's now on our board, and they provide that medical care. She also has an opportunity to work on some of the animals. Her specialty is skin cancer. And interestingly, we found out that because she diagnosed it, that several of the drill baboons in Limbe have skin cancer.
Wow.
She ended up performing a couple of life-saving surgeries on some of the adult male baboons, drill baboons, when we were there this last time. And we actually, this year, we're starting our inaugural fundraising volunteerism trip. Chef Chris Hall from Local 3 you're going to have an opportunity to go to Africa with Chef Chris Hall from Local 3 and Children of Conservation. And we're going to go for think it's 9 days, do hang out at Giraffe Manor, feed some giraffes, play with them, go to an elephant sanctuary that we support, play with some baby elephants, go and do a wildlife safari, see some lions and tigers and giraffes and elephants. Then we'll be doing a chimpanzee trek. We'll spend a night at Ngamba Island, which is another sanctuary that we support. We'll go to some of the kids, some of the schools where we have kids that we sponsor, and feed some chimpanzees over on Ngamba Island, do a chimpanzee trek, and then we'll end it with a 2-day gorilla trek in Bwindi.
Well, this sounds like a fantastic opportunity for school-age children as well. And do you do any speaking here in local schools about what you're doing?
We do. We've started a program to connect local schools with our school kids in Africa.
Pen pals.
It is. And we go and we speak to the children here, have them write letters, and then take those letters to the kids in our different sanctuaries and have them read those letters and write back, and then allow them to communicate throughout the year, help them learn. It's interesting. A lot of kids in the U.S. don't really have a real good handle on Africa. They don't realize how big it is. Most kids, if you ask them, what's the weather like in Africa? Oh, it's hot. Yeah, they don't realize that Africa is 4 times the size of the United States, and there's places where it snows. And so we go in and we educate them not only about the continent, but also about the different lifestyles and what's going on and the issues that they face. And they get these letters back from some of the kids, and they realize, wow, I'm pretty lucky to be in school.
Mm-hmm.
Because Absolutely. Those kids there are thrilled to be in school. I had our last trip, one of our little girls came to the sanctuary, and she was just standing by me quietly, and she had this little sheepish look on her face, and she's just standing there with this little booklet. And I asked her, her name is Gift, which is an appropriate name for her, and I asked her what she wanted, and she just wouldn't say anything. And then her dad came out. She wanted to show me her report card because she was number one in her class, and she's on our scholarship program, and she was so proud that she had gotten her grades to be the first in her class. And it's just so rewarding to see those kids who are so happy to be in school, happy to be working hard, to hear these kids. 3 of our kids, our very first kids that we sponsored, are now in university. They just started university this year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And have them all come back and take time away from, you know, leave school after their last class, come see us, and then get on a bus at 4 o'clock the next morning so that they could come and thank us. And they could tell the other kids on the program, you have a responsibility. There are people on the other side of the world who are taking care of your education that you don't even know. And you have a responsibility to do the best with it and to preach conservation once you get that education.
Wow. Absolutely fabulous. And I can't wait to read more in our article coming out this week. And I will be giving away a little bit of our editorial. I do know that one of our travel pieces, our travel far piece, is a piece on Africa. So the timing of us having that in the magazine was perfect. And I would like to encourage you to volunteer, to look at Michelle's website, and I'm going to have her expound a little bit more on how we can find you. If you have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, website, where can our readers and listeners find out more about you?
You can find out more about us at childrenofconservation.org. We also do have a Facebook page, same thing, Children of Conservation. And the one of the best ways to learn about the global aspect of what we do have a short video on our homepage. And that's a great way to get a real good feel for everything that we do and the sanctuaries that we do. And we also have a holiday program to sponsor a child. 100% of donations go to these programs. My husband and I fund the administrative cost, and 100% of the donations will go to send these kids to school, pay for their educational expenses, and that's something that can be done. You can sponsor a child on behalf of somebody else, and they'll get a nice card with a description of that child and a story about them.
That's fantastic. That was going to be my question to our other two guests as well. As we're getting into the holidays, Kristen, I know that you have a couple of items that are available for people to purchase where the funds do go to CURE.
Yes, there's a page on our website that's called Make Your Purchases Count. And if you go there, you'll see the list of things that you can purchase where CURE receives some benefit.
Terrific. And Sean, what about you? Is there anything that the folks can look at or consider doing for the holidays that adds back support or just making a donation in somebody's name?
Well, at the event here next week, we will have a silent auction with some pretty neat things there at Ocean Prime. So if you go to the website and check that out, that'll give you an opportunity to kind of, you know, understand a little bit more about that. And as far as volunteering goes, the contact information on the website as well can be very beneficial as well to helping with the cause.
Terrific. Well, Michelle and Kristen and Sean, we're thrilled to have you in studio today. And I wanted to speak just a little bit more about our focus as a publication. I know that all three of you know me very well, and you know our magazine, and you've probably been readers for a while now, but the background on the magazine, we are so focused on everything local, and that was something that we loved about all three of the charities that were being showcased here today. Our entire magazine is written by professional freelance journalists who live here in Atlanta. We print here, we distribute here. Everything that we do stays local, and we have a very strong place in our hearts for organizations and businesses and individuals that are right here in our own backyard doing fantastic things. So thank you, all three of you, for being here today. And if you all have any questions for each other, we'd love to know if you can help each other or have a question or best practice for somebody else.
I think everybody's
I think right. everybody covered it.
Yes.
Yeah. We I think kinda, everybody's volunteered Sean for something or whatever.
I know, I know.
Well, nothing like radio to put the guy on the spot or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the good part about it is they can't see us. So yeah, right. They can hear our voices but can't see us.
Yeah. Well, a great show. I mean, first inaugural show. I feel like we don't have a studio audience. We actually have an observer joining us in the studio. I want to put all the pressure on you, but I think a round of applause for Joanne. We normally don't do applause on the radio, but yeah, I think it was a bang-up job.
You.
We knocked it out of the park or whatever.
Thank
yeah.
you. Well, we were very honored to have the guests that we have today, and we really appreciate their time. Michelle is a very busy attorney. Kristen is the caretaker for a huge local charity, and Sean is very involved in the community. And, you know, even though he's not playing this year, he is very much involved in Spoonful of Hope. And we look forward to working with him more in the future as well.